Well, we're carrying on here. This is our fourth week as fourth and last final week on Elisha. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you here today. I think that hopefully it'll be a word that'll be good for us as we've looked. And I have been personally, as we've been looking at Elisha and we've been looking at these different stories, part of my hope and part of my prayer really as we did that and walked through that was that our faith would grow and that our faith would be encouraged. And I hope that as we have walked through these things, I hope that has taken place in your life over these last few weeks, that we have our faith has grown and our faith has been encouraged. I've titled my message this morning called Your Lost Edge, Your Lost Edge. And before we get going into that, why don't we ask God to speak to us here this morning. Lord Jesus, we come to you again, and we're just so grateful to you, God. Lord, we just say we love you this morning. God, you're gracious and you're merciful, and God, you love us, and you desire a relationship with us, and God, you want to speak to us. And so, God, I just pray this morning that that we would hear your voice. That maybe if there are cobwebs in our mind from this week or things that have come up, Lord, that those would be taken down and we'd be able to just hear what you'd have to say to us here today. And so we look to you now, God, to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, growing up, once in a while, I stress the once in a while, I used to help my father in the garage. My dad was a handyman in sort of a way. He loved to work a bit on cars and work, build things in his garage. And so once in a while, I would go out and I would help him. And so I remember one specific time, I think I was in grade 8. We had just moved to Victoria, and I was there, and I was helping him put together something in the garage. And I remember this specific point, and I've tried to often share that point with my kids, but I remember he was working on something and he handed me the screwdriver and he said, "Can you put this away? And because we're done with it, can you put this away?" And I said, "Yeah, okay." So I grabbed the screwdriver and I put it on the workbench, and then I turned around and I said, "Okay, well, now how do we?" And he looks at me and he says, "It actually goes there. It doesn't go on the workbench. It goes," he had one of those pegboards set up, and it went in on the proper hook. That's where it was supposed to go. And I'm not sure, I don't remember if he had that pegboard. If you have a garage and you got a pegboard with all the tools, I'm not sure if he had it outlined. I don't remember, but I could see him doing that kind of thing. Anyway, so I said, "You know, what does it matter if I put it on the workbench and don't put it in the pegboard? We can do that later." And I remember what he kind of said to me. He said, "That's not really the point, Marcel." He says, "The point is always the attitude with which you do something. If you do something properly the first time, you won't have to redo it, or in my case, try to find the screwdriver when we actually need it later." And I've always had a bit of an issue with this. I will put it away later. And so, if you come to my house and you look in my toolbox, you will be forever looking for what you hope to find. If you need a screwdriver, it will probably take you a very long time to find the right one because it is buried somewhere. I toss it in there, and my whole thought is, I will deal with that later. And now, my oldest son, unfortunately, is kind of like me. I'm not sure how big the lockers are at school. When I was a kid, they were not that big. But amazingly, during the year, at the end of the year, what was lost is now found. It's amazing. Jackets, shoes, books. He cannot even carry it home. We have to come pick him up from school, and trunk loads of this stuff get shoved in. I'm like, how big is your locker at school? Because it's really amazing. When we would ask him where something was during the school year, "Didn't we buy you shoes like 2 months ago?" And he'd be like, Yeah, I don't know where they are. How about that jacket? Yeah, I don't know where that jacket is. The shirt? The worst is when I think one of them came home and they didn't know where their pants were. And I'm, when do you take your pants off? I don't even want to go there. But in this case, unfortunately, the apple does not fall far from the tree. And I'm learning and I'm getting better with this stuff. And I'm trying to pass that on to my boys, but I think it might be too little too late in this case. But while we can lose things that are physical in nature, and it can be very frustrating when we lose things in physical nature, but we can also lose things that are of another nature, like our passion. You know, at one point we were so passionate about Christ and all that he was doing. As time went on, we began to lose that. Maybe you were experiencing great joy and contentment in Christ, but as life moved forward, you would say you lost that. You didn't intend to lose it, but you did. One day you realized it was just gone. Maybe you were one who prayed with great faith, but things happened. One thing led to another, and now you don't pray for much anything anymore. You had something very valuable, but as life went along, you lost it along the way. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we go into that, let's look at where we've been over the last 3 weeks in our study of Elisha. First week, we looked at Elijah calling Elisha into the prophetic ministry. Remember, he threw his cloak over him. And we talked about how we don't have to fully understand in order to fully obey. And it was all about burning plows and slaughtering cows. And the second week, we were digging ditches as we looked at the three kings with three armies who were wandering around in the desert for 7 days, and then they ended up not having any water. And God, through Elisha, told them to dig some ditches. And God sent the water. And we learned that only God can send the water, that only God can do the miraculous. But sometimes we need to dig a ditch. And I heard a few stories over that last week of people stepping out and digging some ditches, and it was amazing to hear of those stories. Last week, the widow that was in a hopeless situation had nothing left, and the creditors, they were coming to take her boys away. And Elisha told her to go and collect as many jars as she could and pour the little oil that she had. And the oil, as she was pouring it, just kept coming and coming. And we talked about stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have, because God just may want to take what little you have and do something miraculous with it. Because with God, God specializes in taking the meager things that we have and doing something amazing with it. And today we're going to look at a miracle that will probably make you say, huh? As I read it, I said, huh? So what? That was my reaction. I mean, God used Elisha to do some pretty amazing stuff. He healed a commander of leprosy, raised a boy from the dead, caused a whole army to go blind. There was some exciting stuff happening. And then there is this story. And you wonder, as you read it, what is the significance of it? I mean, why would we put this in the Bible? I kind of was thinking. Why not just the big, amazing stuff? David and Goliath, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, Moses parting the Red Sea. But this, if I was honest, as I read it, I questioned. Basically, a guy is chopping down a tree, and he's got a borrowed axe, and the axe head comes flying off, lands in the water, sinks to the bottom. And the guy says, oh no, my axe head is gone. Elisha comes along and says, where did you lose it? Peels the stick off, throws it the place where it landed in the water, and God brings it to the surface, reaches in, gets the axe head, and that's it. And we're left thinking, well, that's a nice story. That's great. Good for him. But I mean, why would you take up such valuable space in Scripture? And while I have to admit that I don't know the full significance of this story, that And I think that'll be one of those things that we ask when we get to heaven, at least maybe I will. But even though we may not be able to like fully understand why God put it there, we can find some truths that are in this passage. Now you need to know that for this student who lost his axe head, it's important to know that this was not his axe. And iron in those days was very valuable. And as we learned last week, prophets were not known for their wealth. So to him, this was a very big deal. He lost something that wasn't his. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever lost something? You borrowed something and then lost it and it wasn't yours? I have. And how I deal with that usually is I try to ignore the person until I can find it. But in this case, it was at the bottom of the Jordan. And one of the things you do see here, one of the things we see here is that God does care. God does care about the little details in our lives. And sometimes I think, why would God care about this little thing or that little thing? But he does. He cares about your life. And not just about the extreme things, like we've been talking about in the last 3 weeks, where Elisha's walking away from his certain stable future. He just sort of leaves everything behind. Or like the three armies about to die of thirst, or the widow who's about to lose her sons. These extreme things. God cares, too, about the small things of our life. God cares about you. He cares about the little things. Matter of fact, I think one of the ways that we are able to trust him in the big things is when we see him at work in the little things in our lives day after day. To him, you are not just another cog in the big Christian wheel. You're uniquely crafted, and he loves you. And if he would cause an axe head to float for this prophet, surely he cares for what we're going through. We can bring every care to him. Matter of fact, I think that is really what he wants. He wants all your cares and worries. He wants you to put them in a big sack, and he wants wants you to take them to him, and he wants you to put them on him. He wants to care for you. He wants to take on the job of caring for you. Much too often, we want to care for our cares. And if I'm honest with you this morning, there are things that I find very easy to give to the Lord. I'll give you this care, and I'll give you that care. But this one care, I think I'm going to hold on to and stress over and worry about and get all freaked out about. God says, I want all of your cares. 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. He wants the care of you to be in his hands in every way, from the littlest things to the biggest things. But there are some other things that I'd like to share about this story. It's sort of a picture of our lives. So the context here is, we're going to read in a few minutes, but the context here is that if you remember, Elijah came and he asked Elisha to come, and he mentored Elisha over the next little while. And so Elisha then, in the same way, began mentoring other prophets. And as he began to mentor these prophets, the number of prophets began to grow and grow and grow and grow. And so they thought, well, we can't meet anymore in the place that we're at. And so what we're going to have to do, one of the prophets came to Elisha and said, we need to build another place. And so let's go and build a place down by the Jordan. And so this is where we engage this story. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to read from verses 1 to verse 7 together. It says this: "The company of the prophets said to Elisha, 'Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet.' And he said, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Won't you please come with your servants?' 'I will,' Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried out. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. And the man reached out his hand and took it. And now, besides God caring about the little things in our lives, besides God caring about those types of axe heads maybe that find themselves fallen in the water, besides that, I would like to focus on this idea here today. That God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. That God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. And this morning, we're going to look at this in a sort of metaphorical sense. As we sit here this morning and we maybe look at our own lives, as we examine our own lives, I'd like to ask you a question. And the question is this. That just like the prophet who was chopping away lost his physical edge when his axe head came flying off, the question I would like to ask you or pose to you this morning is, have you lost your spiritual edge? And if you were real honest with yourself and you would say, you know, if I'm honest, then yeah, that would be me. I have lost my spiritual edge. Some of you here today would say, I haven't lost it. And we would say, great, we celebrate with you. And that's fantastic and awesome. But others would say that it is my guess here today that there are some here who, if they're honest, who would have to say that there was another time in your life when you were more passionate about the things of God. Ask yourself specifically and honestly, have you lost your spiritual edge? As you look back over your life, maybe there was a time when you were excited about Christ. Maybe you had a good group around you that encouraged you spiritually, and over time they moved away or they were disconnected, and from them you got disconnected for some reason, and now there's very little encouragement in your life, spiritually speaking. And as a result, you kind of lost your edge. Some of you used to serve maybe in other areas at another church, and it was so rich as you poured into others' lives, and then you moved to a different church, or your stage of life changed, or something happened, and you stopped giving of yourself, and things sort of started to begin to dry up. Some of you had a deep passion to pray, maybe. Sometimes you would even get up early and you would pray early in the morning over and for things. And now, if you're honest, you'll pray over a meal once in a while. Some of you maybe had a deep desire in your life at one point to share Christ with people. And you would. Wherever God would lead you, you would share Christ. And now you can't even remember the last time when you had a spiritual conversation with someone. There was a time when it seemed like something was alive in you. But for whatever reason, it's a past memory. Now you go through the motions, but your edge is gone. Have you lost your spiritual edge? The reality is it can happen to any one of us, including me. We have a spiritual enemy. And you may say, yeah, but you know, you work at the church. You work at the church where you guys are praying all the time, reading your Bible all the time. I mean, what can happen to me and Owen and people working at the church is, what can happen and has happened to me is that at times I read books, not for me, but for sermon ideas. I read the Bible for teaching thoughts. And your mind gets into this way of thinking and because you're doing it all the time, and what starts in a right place can end in a wrong one. I remember in high school, it was just me and Jesus. It was just him and I, and I'd set off on my bike, and I remember riding to school, and I'd be talking to Jesus all the way. Oh, here we go, God. It's just you and me today going to school. It's going to be great. And I remember I would share Christ with people that I worked with. My friends at school I shared Christ with. I wrote papers on it. Grade 12 provincials, we had to write an essay, and the topic was going forward. And I wrote my essay on going forward in Christ. And I had this really close, real relationship with Jesus. Like, it was just me and him. And I went off to Bible school, and after Bible school, I started youth pastoring in Victoria. And while I was passionate for the Lord, it didn't feel like just him and me anymore. It felt like him and us. Like it was my job now to care for these teens, and very easily I could become more about the teens following the Lord than me following the Lord. And I would go through some very dry times. And I have to be very careful here too, because I can say the right things and I can act the right way, and everyone assumes stuff, so I have to be very, very careful that I don't lose my edge. And if it can happen to me here at a church where we pray all the time and read our Bibles all the time, then it can happen to you in your world. And for whatever reason, maybe your life began to change. You started becoming maybe overtaken by your other responsibilities, and that can happen. But following Christ, for whatever reason, becomes our part-time gig. Full-time mom, part-time follower of Jesus. Full-time business owner, part-time follower of Christ. And we didn't mean for it to happen, but subtly and over time, and the enemy can sneak in and just change our course ever so slightly. And when you're off by 1 degree here, you don't really notice. But over time, you become way off course. And before you think, you know, I say that I'm going to tell you to try harder and to be better, I'm not. But it also doesn't mean that we are free from taking steps of faith in our own spiritual life. So what do you do when you're swinging away and your edge comes off? What do you do? Well, I'd like to look at the story, as I said, metaphorically. And as this student or prophet of Elisha was swinging away and his axe came off, and we apply it symbolically to our lives, how do we get our edge back? I think the first thing is this, that we need to be honest about where we lost it. Honesty is a big deal in this. You see, the prophet, he could have hid the axe, could have lied, said it was stolen. I had it right here. I don't know where it went. Somebody must have taken off with it. It wasn't his. He would have got away with it. I don't know. But he didn't. He was honest, and he went right away. As soon as he realized that it was gone, he went quickly to Elisha. And I think a lot of times we play around way too much with this. When we're feeling like we're heading off course, we say, I'm fine. Ah, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. I'm fine. Uh-oh. I'm not fine. But I can't let anyone know or see. And so we try to hold it together, because we don't want to show anyone where we are. You'll never get your edge back lying to yourself or anyone else. Imagine if the prophet who lost his axe said, oh, I lost my axe and it's borrowed. And Elisha comes and says, where'd you lose it? Over there in the bushes. He'd say, he's not getting it back. Or you just pretend to chop down wood with no axe head. If you're pretending to do it away, it's not actually chopping. Eventually, people will be able to tell anyway. But you're not going to get your edge back by doing that. And so there is a real need for us to be honest. Honest about where we lost it. Honest the fact that we lost it. And I want to say that just because we lost it doesn't mean that we meant to lose it. But we did. And so when we look back, if you are honest, where did things start to unravel for you if you've lost your spiritual edge? And as we look back, we can often pinpoint a time when things started going in the wrong direction. Maybe it came in the form of a relationship, you know. Sometimes we can be lonely, and we just are so desperate for somebody. And we can go off in a wrong relationship, and we can pinpoint, say, you know, as soon as I started that, things started going downhill for me. Maybe it came in the form of, another type of relationship, or from for some of you, it could have been even when we stopped giving financially. I know this sounds crazy. Maybe. But think about it. Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. What happens when you invest in a stock? I've only really invested in a stock, once, twice. And this is what I did. I watched it incessantly. I watched it, in the first case, go up and up, and I was so excited. And it had me, and I'd sit in my office, I'd watch this thing, and it had me, and I was counting my money as I was watching this thing go. Oh, this is so exciting. It had me. You see, I don't think Jesus really wants our money. I mean, really, what's he going to do with it? I don't think he takes Canadian currency in heaven, so... I mean, really. But what he wants is our heart. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And for some of us, we stopped giving, and maybe we realized that we could have this or that if we used our money over here, over there. And not that those things are bad, it's just that maybe our heart went with it. Maybe you were hurt in a church by a minister or another person. And through that, you said, well, forget this then. And you allowed your heart to grow cold and hard. And you began to blame God for what man did. For me, if I'm really honest with you, I can care sometimes more about what others think about my spiritual life than my spiritual life. And we need to be honest about where we lost it. The second thing here this morning is, with God's help, take back what you lost. If we look at verses 6 and 7, it says this. The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. "Lift it out. Lift it out." The axe head was gone, but God brought it back. And the man was told to lift it out. In the second week, we talked about how only God can make it rain. How only God can do the miraculous, but sometimes he calls us to dig some ditches. And last week, again, we talked about how only God can multiply the oil, but you are called to gather the jars. And this week, only God can bring back the edge, but he calls us to take it back. To take back what we've lost. To take back what maybe the enemy has stolen from us. And wherever you are right now, know that it is not too late for you. Sometimes when we begin to think about this, we think, man, that's just a past that happened a long time ago. It's not where I am now. I will never get back there again. And there's a voice in our head that tells us that. And I want to tell you that you have not done too much and you've not gone too far. It's not too late. It's not too late to live in all that God created you to be and become. It's not too late. Because our God wants to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. So what do you do? Well, I think this is what we do. We do what we can do and trust God to do the miracle. This really is our faith step in our own spiritual lives. Can you make the axe head float? The answer is no. We cannot make the axe head float. But can you lift it out when God brings it within reach? Yes, you can. Can you create passion? Can you create faith? The answer is no, you can't. But we do know that faith comes through hearing the Word of God. So we can put ourselves in places where we can hear God's Word spoken and allow faith to arise in us. We can choose to pray even when we don't feel like it. And we can choose to worship even when we don't feel like it as an act of faith. That God is going to meet me here. And I think it's so important, even maybe even more so important, to begin to put ourselves in those places and have, those are like little steps of faith. I know sometimes we think that, you know, oh, I don't feel like things and therefore I'm not going to do them because I don't want to be hypocritical about it. And I get that. But there's also, and I think more often, the time is, I need to do this as a step of faith here. And I do this as a step of faith. And as we begin to worship, even though I don't feel like raising our hands, like sometimes we raise our hands because we're overwhelmed with emotion. But sometimes we don't feel like raising our hands, but we raise our hands. And we enter into worship as an act, as a step of faith towards God. And a lot of the reason I think that we do this is because God actually has never left us. It's just our awareness of God has become dull and we can't see. He's right there. He's been there the entire time. But for whatever reason, life we've allowed to sort of cloud our vision and we don't see that he's right there with us all the time. And as we begin to worship, we begin to see these things. As we begin to put ourselves in places where we're hearing the word spoken, we begin to see these things over time. When my kids were small and they'd have a nightmare, they would crawl into bed with us, or sometimes they would lie beside us when we say, don't crawl into bed with us. They would pull out of bed and then lie beside us. And sometimes I'd have no idea that they were lying there. But just because I had no idea and it was dark did not mean that they were not there. Because when I got out of bed to go use the washroom, I would step on a child. And all of a sudden, I had this great realization. They had been there for a couple of hours. Or I'd turn over and see a face right in my face. And they had been there. And sometimes things can cloud our vision and realization of God, and we become spiritually dull. Our edge becomes spiritually dull. But as we step out in these things, we begin to see, and the cloud begins to move. As Jesus speaks to the church in Ephesus in Revelation, he gave them some advice. He said, yet I hold this against you. And in Revelations 2, 4, and 5a, it says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Do the things that you did at first. Sometimes we have to backtrack a bit. We have to go back. As we look back, we say, you know, this was the point where I lost my spiritual life. I saw myself going off course right here. So maybe we begin to start there. Maybe you used to love to pray, and I'd say find a group of people that are already praying and ask to join them. Hop in and begin to start praying. Or maybe you used to meet with a group, and so you gather some like-minded friends, and you start to meet together and talk and share about spiritual things and pray. You pick up your Bible again. You might not feel like it at first, but you start in as an act of faith, believing that God is just he's going to meet you there. You start to pray. You start serving. You start moving in faith that God is going to meet you. And as you move into him, he will meet you. God will meet you there. And do what you can do. Put yourself in those places. Start picking up your Bible. Start worshiping, just entering in. Start, if you were a prayer, start praying. Start meeting with those people to pray again. To pray again. Do what you can do and trust God to do what we cannot. Because our God is a God of restoration, and he loves to bring back what you didn't mean to lose. Let's pray. God, we come to you again today. And I'd like to pray for those people who are here today. That maybe as they would look at their own lives, they would say that they've lost their spiritual edge. God, I pray for them, God, that you would allow them, Lord Jesus, to begin to step into those things, Lord Jesus, again. God, we know that only you can raise the edge from the Jordan. Only you can give us passion and faith for you. We acknowledge that. But Lord Jesus, we also know that there are things that we can step into and not step into because out of legalism or because we have to. But just like the widow stepped out in faith, just like the armies dig those ditches and stepped out in faith, just like Elisha left his plan B, burned his plow, God, we step out in faith and believe that, God, you're going to do something. Lord Jesus, you didn't call us to just sort of go through the motions, Lord. You called us to a living, active, live faith. We're making a difference eternally, God. This is what you have called us to. This is what we were created for, Lord Jesus. And God, I just pray for those who may be feeling like they're just going through the motions right now. God, I pray that you would just give them the courage, that you would give them the strength to begin to step out in faith in their own spiritual lives. Lord, speak to them and show them maybe, where did I lose that? God, begin to direct them in those places as to where they can begin to engage you again and get their spiritual edge back, Lord Jesus. That they would take back what the enemy stole from them. Lord Jesus, I know that the enemy would love us to live dull, boring, going through the motions Christian lives. But God, you have so much more for us. So much more. And so, God, I pray, just as a church, that we would be ones who would step out in faith, Lord, even this week, I pray. And God, for those that have that spiritual edge, Lord Jesus, right now, that is sharp, God, I pray that they would just continue to walk in that, Father, to walk in those things you've called them to, God, to be sharp in the kingdom of God, we pray. And so, Lord, we just give you ourselves. We thank you for how you love us. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, sure. If you'd like. I can do my best to answer it. I don't necessarily. Mm-hmm. No, because he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Not if he's really in you.
No, I 100% agree with you. But what I do think happens, and like I had said, what I do think happens is that we kind of get blinded by life. Like we go through maybe a lot of really hard times, or we go through trouble, or we just get sort of taken up with life, whatever it be. And then what happens is we lose sight of him. It's not that he's not there. He's there. But we just, because of all the sin, keeps clouding over our vision of where he is. And even though he's been there and he's never going to leave us, and he's standing there the entire time. But yeah.
But I think my point is that you automatically, even though it's maybe a small moment, you turn to him right away.
Yeah, you want to turn to him, yeah. Exactly. Instantly. Yeah, oh, instantly. And I think that's too, like the prophet who lost his axe head, right? Instantly, as soon as he lost his edge, he went and said, Elisha, I lost my edge. And I think the sooner the better. But unfortunately, what I think happens is we try to hide things and we try to move along like nothing's wrong. And then we're way off track somewhere, totally missing. And then we're too scared because we feel like we've gone too far to come and just say, here I am. Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Well, I thank you for listening this morning. May God bless you richly. I hope you have a great, great rest of your week. And coffee is on, so enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you.